This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. In Parliament last week, Padang Rengas MP Nazri Abdul Aziz said that Kuala Lumpur is, and I quote, losing its identity with roads and buildings given English names rather than local ones. But what's in a name for our local places? My guest for today is Elizabeth Cardosa, who is well known for her work in heritage conservation, and she's joining me to discuss what names bring to the history, to the heritage of a place, and how much names or the language the names are in matter to places like KL and its identity. Thank you so much for joining me today, Elizabeth. How are you doing today?
Afternoon, Sue, and I'm good, thank you.
From a heritage perspective, you know, through your work, what is the value or importance that a name brings to a place, you know, whether we're talking about a town, a building, or even a street?
Well, you know, I think that when we start looking at historically, you know, places that are, or streets even, you know, that there's always a rationale behind why a place is called what it is. So though, even if it, since, you know, this conversation is partly about Kuala Lumpur, so we look at this whole, you know, notion of what, you know, where does the name Kuala Lumpur come from? Mm-hmm. And we shorten it to KL, by the way, yeah? So we've kind of lost, formally and officially, a lot of people will say KL. I mean, unofficially people, you know, informally we talk about it being KL. Formally the place is called Kuala Lumpur. What's the origins of its name? So you have the confluence of these two rivers that meet at a particular place, which, as an iconic image, you know, the Masjid Jamek that is placed there, that is located there now, is something that we see as, oh, you know, it is at this confluence that KL or Kuala Lumpur as a city, as a modern, what it is today, started. So the muddy confluence. Mm. And so what do we do? You know, do we say Kuala Lumpur? Do we say KL? Do we rename it? But yeah, I'm going back to the question of, you know, what is the importance, the value of a name is very often tells you of its it locates a place in terms of history. It locates a place in terms of what it represented. So the Kuala Lumpur will represent this meeting of spaces. So I think that when we are looking at the names of places, very often they help us understand the history of a place. They help us understand the stories behind it, you know, and or people, and they are a link to the past. And the past is yesterday. The past doesn't have to be 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. The past is yesterday. Mm-hmm. The past was a minute ago, you know. And so when we look at naming of places, we do, they provide that link with the past. And I think that that's something that's quite important to remember. So what is its value? Its value is in helping us have an understanding of an origin, have an understanding of, at a particular point of time, what people considered to be important or wanted to remember. So these are all linked together. And I don't think that we can say that, you know, you shouldn't change the name of a place. Mm-hmm. If it develops new values, if it has a different level of significance, something happens and it's commemorative of something which is even perhaps more significant than its origins. That none of that is name of a place is not fixed or doesn't need to be fixed in stone. But when you have it there, it carries with it a lot of subtext, a lot of history. And when you remove it or you obliterate it, sometimes you lose that link and you erase that part of the memory. Hmm. So, you know, that these are issues that I think also partly depending on how long, how ancient, how important it is to who. You know, which community does it belong to? So all of these things are linked. And it's not good or bad or wrong or right. I think as long as we debate it, as long as it's thought through and there is dialogue with regard to changing names, how do you deal with it?
You know, what's interesting, I guess, in the comments that we in the comments that we saw in Parliament last week was that comparison between English and Malay names. But in a society such as Malaysia's, you know, if we look at Kuala Lumpur, where we have people speaking so many different languages, so many different dialects throughout history, does it matter to the identity of the place, whether, you know, names of places are in English or in Malay or perhaps, you know, reflecting Chinese or Indian culture, for example?
I think that I think we're looking at it from two levels, right? One is the national agenda. Nationally, how does it, Malaysia want to project itself? You know, how do we want Bahasa Malaysia? You look at the new national cultural policy or the updated national cultural policy, you know, what is of prime importance? What makes you have a Malaysian cultural identity? Bahasa Malaysia is the national language, so should everything be in Bahasa Malaysia? Whatever it is, that's a national agenda, yeah? That's mm-hmm. one side of the story. But the other side of the story is, the location of the communities within which these, you know, who operate or who own, in a sense, you know, who are custodians of, who work within these places. And very often you have an official name, and then you have a name by which the local community refer to it as. And that could be, in depending on the community and depending on its history, quite different, but that culturally belongs to that particular group. So you are not, and different communities who operate in the same area may refer to it differently as well, because they might use their vernacular language, their own language, you know. And so the meaning is, you know, in a naming of a place, is it gives meaning to that group of people who use it. And then there's the official name. So I think that when we're talking about this losing its identity, it's a loss of identity when you change the name Batu Road to Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman. Mm-hmm. And now it's called Jalan Ta, because people have, you know, T full stop, A full stop, R, and full stop, and then you drop the period marks and it becomes Jalan Ta. Mm-hmm. And so looking back at the origins of the name Batu Road, was because it was the path that led toward Batu. And Batu was an area where there was mining activity. So it was a directional, yeah? And it led somewhere. Jalan Ampang, for example. Ampang Road is still called Jalan Ampang. Mm-hmm. The road itself is still named as, you know, led to the Ampang Mines, and Jalan Sungai Besi, and Jalan Petaling, you know, which led toward Petaling, which is not Petaling Street itself, you know, but Petaling Street is part of what would have been Jalan Petaling, Old Klang Road. In KL, why do you call it Old Klang Road? Is there a New Klang Road? No, there's a federal highway, you know, that came up, you know, later. But the road to Klang used to be using that way, what we now call Old Klang Road. So these names, or Jalan Klang Lama, you know, so it's a literal translation, yeah, from Old Klang Road to Jalan Klang. So going back to Batu Road, right, you know, in 1957, in commemoration of Merdeka, and its first Agong, the road got renamed to Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman. And then later it got shortened to because it was too long, so you abbreviate it, and then you drop the full stops, and then it becomes something which, you know, if you say, oh, Jalan Ta to someone in KL now, if they are an older person, they may look a bit confused.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you say, oh, I mean Batu Road, and they go, oh, okay, right, fine, you know, and they locate it. So you locate your place, your part of your connection with the past according to these place names, and it demonstrates to, let's say, somebody like me, you know, or actually any member of society, but because I work in conservation and heritage and advocacy and protection of our cultural heritage, yeah, it helps me place the person in the trajectory of KL's history, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they say, if they continue to name, to call this, oh yeah, we went to Batu Road, yeah, or we went to, they, if they're saying that, then I know where they're coming from.
Mm.
They would have, you know, visited KL or lived in KL from the pre-1957 days, so to speak. And so that's how they see it.
Mm.
And that's how they remember it. And that's how they know it. So, whereas if you're talking to a new arrival, or if you're looking at a map today, you know, if you say Batu Road, everybody's going to be like, where, what, you know, that kind of thing. You would need to look at a historic map to understand that. So this is, I think, something that we have to understand, that it doesn't necessarily have to be fixed, but they all have implications to whoever is using it at a particular point in time. So, yeah, I think that, and it's not a question of whether it should be in English, because, of course, there have been the, like I said, with, you know, Jalan Ampang, you know, from Ampang Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transliteration of, you know, a direct translation into Bahasa Malaysia. But I'm sure that if you talk to a Chinese community in Ampang Town, for example, they might name it, you know, differently. It's like, I can't speak Cantonese, but my mother would have referred to, you know, the Petaling Street area, having grown up in KL, you know, in a different name. It's not even Petaling Street, you know, it's not Jalan Petaling. She would have referred to it as per its localized, its community saw it.
Mm.
And it had a Chinese name of its period.
Mm. So I guess seeing how the names of roads or places change, or, you know, perhaps what language you are calling it, also tells us a story about the person, right? The community that lives there.
Yeah, it tells you a story about the individual. It tells you a story about its history and its importance to a particular group of people or peoples, you know, groups of people,
mm-hmm.
And how they interacted with the space. Sometimes it's about how the space was used. Lebo Pasar Besar in KL,
mm-hmm.
You know, Old Market Street. You know, why was it called Old Market Street? I mean, it used to be called Old Market Street. Now it's called Lebo Pasar Besar. And so you look at it and you go, well, was there a market in the area? Or do you just not think about it? And you just think about it as a name. But when you look at it as Jalan Pasar, you know, you expect, or Lebo Pasar Besar, you expect to see a market. And if it isn't there, you go, oh, okay, right. Did there used to be a market here? In which case, where was it located? You know, that kind of thing. And so it tells you about the character and the identity of, and if you convert it to, you know, Jalan A, you know what I mean? You rename it, whatever you want to, you mm-hmm. know. When you rename it to Jalan Malaysia, let's say, yeah, I'm not suggesting you do, but, you know, then you would think when you're looking at that name as, oh, this is incredibly important to the nation because that's why it's named that way. And then you might create a history of the place, which may not actually be correct, you know. So identity and naming, and they are connected. And when you change something, of course you can change it. That doesn't mean you can't. It's like I say, you know, if the government decides to change it, if City Hall decides to change it, it's their owner. It's the onus is on them. But if you change it, why do you need to change it? You know, are there no new roads to name? Are you renaming it because, as happened recently in PJ, you know, Jalan University has been renamed. And so, you know, the road, the street has been renamed after that person. Do you keep the old name in brackets underneath so that people can understand, or somebody who doesn't know that the name has been changed will recognize it? Or do you just want to wipe it out and say, it's okay, you know, we're progressing, we're moving forward. We don't need these names to locate ourselves in our past because we are only looking toward the future. I think there are two sides to this. And it is a conflict, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, there are conflicting demands and but, you know, there needs to be, I think, a dialogue about it.
Hmm. I'm speaking today to Elizabeth Cardosa, who is known for her work in heritage conservation, about what names and what the languages they are in, whether it's English, Malay or any other language spoken in Malaysia, what they mean for places and their identities. We'll continue our conversation after a quick break. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn with me, Lim Suan. Joining me via Zoom today is Elizabeth Cardosa, who is known for her work in heritage conservation, about what names mean for the identity of cities and places in Malaysia. Now, this comes after Padang Rengas MP Nazri Abdul Aziz mentioned in Parliament last week that Kuala Lumpur is, and I quote, losing its identity, with roads and buildings given English names rather than local ones. Elizabeth, you know, you mentioned this a bit earlier, but is there that potential danger when we rename places or when we see it as progressing, looking to the future, like you say, you know, that we risk losing the history or we risk even rewriting the history of what that place was?
Maybe that is the intention. sometimes, I think at an individual level, you know, sometimes people go through a personal crisis, and then they, or a personal circumstance, and they take on a new name because it is something that supports, you know, will help them move forward. You know, so there are different reasons for that. That's one. But when you use it only because you see moving forward as the answer or the future and not the past, I'm of the strong belief that if you don't have yourself linked, if you don't have the links to the past, if you don't have that located within a city, within an individual, within a community, how on earth are you going to understand how well you have progressed or how far you have progressed? You know, your record card kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a base line, so to speak, you know, on which to check or to against. So we look today in KL, and it's a story I think I've told before, at the Sultan Abdul Samad building, Bangunan Sultan Abdul Samad, which is, by the way, now called BSAS Block A, and that's how it's referred to. So if you look at BSAS Block A, you have, unless you know and are in the know, you know, have you any idea where it's located? Maybe and maybe not. Mm-hmm. If you are in the know, yes. If you're not, you will kind of go like, okay, right, fine, it's a new Menara occur. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it a new development?
It sounds like what any other new development would sound like.
Yeah, right. You know, you just create an acronym or a name or whatever, right? So it doesn't, if you say the Bangunan Sultan Abdul Samad, people will know it for its location. Mm-hmm. Because it is very often, you know, an iconic building that is shown as part of KL and KL's development. This large, at that time, very large, remember it's only a two-story building, yeah, with a clock tower. built in 1895, you know, or thereabouts, completed in about that time, 1895, 1896. And then you look at the Petronas Twin Towers, which were completed 100 years later in 1996. And if you didn't have the Sultan Abdul Samad building, which said at that time it was surrounded by what? Some brick buildings with tiled roofs, two-story, three-story, but mostly two-story, simple buildings. And then you had this monumental building with a clock tower, and the chime from the clock tower, according to records, could be heard, in a radius of 3 to 5 miles around Kuala Lumpur, because it was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine now you're at the other end, you're at the KL Library end of the Padang. When the clock tower chimes, you can't hear it. And you're only a couple of hundred meters away, you know. So you moved from that position to the Petronas Twin Towers in 1996. And imagine that's over 20 years ago. And then now you have the TRX, which is higher and taller, and you have the Merdeka 118, which is even higher and taller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you compare that with the monument of the Sultan Abdul Samad building, which looks tiny compared to these other developments. So when you have that as a point of comparison, you can understand development, you can understand technology, you can understand progress just by looking at the two. And that's really what names of places and histories help you locate your progression as a society, as a community, your development potential, you know, your progress, all of these things, how much we have moved, benefited maybe, you know. So all of these things are kind of linked to the past. And when you obliterate the past and you wipe it out and there's no longer any evidence of it, that's lost. You forget it. You have a new starting point.
Hmm.
And if you keep obliterating that, you actually really become more and more shallow in that sense. My point of view, yeah?
Mm. And I guess amongst all these, there's also gentrification to think about, right? And I guess if we look at how new developments are named, you know, they are less traditional names. They are more sort of modern sounding, not necessarily Malaysian names. I guess does that also change how we perceive a city, how we perceive an area, especially when, you know, we don't see local communities there anymore?
Okay. All right. Let's say something maybe about 3 years ago, thereabouts, cropped up with the Bangsa South development.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, there was a lot of, I'm going to say noise, not noise, a lot of discussion around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should it be, you know, actually Bangsa South is a development. The area was always Kampung Kerinci. The area has not changed. If you're on the federal highway or if you're looking at a map and you are looking to locate a place, the Bangsa South development, you will find it in off of Jalan Kerinci.
That's right.
And the highway signs point toward Kampung Kerinci. Yeah, and there are other signs that say Bangsa South, but that is a development.
It's referring to a very specific part of Kampung Kerinci.
Yes, of Kampung Kerinci. So I think that we have to also not get caught up in these controversies, maybe, or this discussion. If we're not clear, you know, are we talking about a development? Are we talking about a place? Are we talking about where it's located? So if you look at on Jalan Ampang, there are many different developments and they could be named differently. But the road name remains, the street name remains. What you see in the KLCC area, there are many, many developments. And so it is the current ish city center. It's going to move pretty soon. But it is, you know, commercially, KL move, Kuala Lumpur. If you look at Batu, what I mentioned earlier, Batu Road, right? So that would have been the commercial hub. And then, you know, where the banks and the commerce was and, you know, where businesses took place. And then it kind of moved, right? You know, toward Bukit Bintang, for example. And so you had the golden, what's called the Golden Mile, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, where certain things were located and relocated there. And then you have KLCC as a development where then things kind of gravitated toward that part and hubbed themselves around that area. And then you have now TRX, you know, and things are going to be moving there in, you know, and have already started moving there and will continue. And so that area will become a commercial banking hub where the city center and certain types of activities will move there. So you know, these things change, centers change, partly to do with development. But if we are trying to understand this notion of whether or not we should or shouldn't use what is considered and what has been flagged up as, oh, you know, it's an English name. Mm-hmm. Bangsa itself is, the origins of the word Bangsa, and I think you will have read about it, and a lot of people will know because it's talked about, you know, came from the name of a rubber estate that was owned by a Bang, and, you know, I mean, these are two parts of two names, the Bang and the were from the two owners. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how it got named Bangsa. And in that area, you know, the first general hospital was there, which is called the European Hospital. And what we look at as Bangsa nowadays is, and then Bangsa South, well, you know, why? Because it's south of Bangsa. That's a brand. Mm-hmm. And it's a development. So, you know, should they have been allowed? Well, that I think is a discussion with the city authorities because they're the ones who approve mm-hmm. names of that. There is a committee that looks at, you know, naming of streets, naming of you have to put forward your proposals and they get approved as you name these places. Often you look outside of KL, Kinrara, for example, and you say, why is it called Kinrara? Well, Kinrara is because there used to be an estate that was called a Kinrara. There was a Kinrara estate. There was a plantation there. Mm-hmm. And it was called Kinrara. So then when you develop that area, it becomes Kinrara, Bandar Kinrara, which, you know, you when you think about it, it actually located itself in history. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the name nowadays, if you didn't know what was there before, you think, oh, yeah, what a strange name, right? Where did this name come from? You know, is it an English or a white person's name? You know, why aren't we looking at it as a local name? Well, then you go to, you know, why was it called Kinrara before? You know, who were the people who started it, named it? You know, is there a local name? Was there something else? So all of these you can unearth if you wanted to historically. And I think it is quite important to know that it is, these are things which we should be looking at without being too like fixated on pointing fingers. Mm-hmm. And really, what is in the name is from a heritage perspective should help you understand more about, you know, gives you layers, gives you depth to a place.
It's not just how a name sounds or looks like superficially, isn't it? It's sort of just digging that bit more into it, you know, understanding, is there a history behind it? Was there a reason behind why it's named rather than just, deciding that, okay, perhaps Bangsa sounds English or Kinrara sounds English, and I've made my decision. There's much more to it than that.
Yes, yes. And I think that if we can, you know, be open, we are Malaysia, truly Asia or truly Asia Malaysia. I'm not sure what we say nowadays. But what it indicates is that we have multiple communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not just singularly, you know, one singular culture, one singular group. And exactly what do we mean by culture anyway?
Mm.
And so if you say Malay culture, you know, what are you talking about? Kelantan? Is it the same as Johor? Is it the same as Selangor? You know, when you talk about I'm Malay from Sabah, are you the same? You know, mm-hmm. they're really quite different. And then you go into, oh, yes, I'm Malay. And then, oh, I am Mandailing. Or I'm Aceh, you know. Then I am Java. I am Rawa. And you start then, you know, looking at, because we all, I think, this is for the individual, family and community. All of these things, if you say I am from a particular, I identify myself with a particular state, with a particular group, it gives me more texture. It gives, you know, you when you locate yourself culturally, your audience, so to speak, A, it's for yourself in terms of how you see your own identity, but it's also for somebody from who is meeting you, will then begin to understand more things about you without because we have knowledge. So if you meet somebody who's a Nick something or other, you will go, oh, likely to come from Kelantan. Or, you know, it's that sort of thing. And then you listen to the way they speak and you go, oh, I can hear that accent,
mm-hmm.
Which locates, oh, they don't have a Kelantanese accent. So, you know, is it that their family had origins in Kelantan, but now they are squarely located in KL, so they grew up in KL and they have lost that they don't use Kelantan Malay, for example, anymore. And so the lilt that you will hear is neutralized in the Bahasa Baku, you know, so what is pure, nothing is pure. And that's really what makes it exciting to be Malaysian.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we can celebrate just about everything. We don't have to, limit ourselves to one or another.
Hmm.
And history and heritage does support that.
And the identity of a place, the heritage of a place depends on the people, isn't it? It's not just because you chose to name it a particular way.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you end up. You can hope for something, and especially new developments, right? You can hope for a particular profile of people, but you know, it doesn't mean that it will be real. It could take a long time. It could happen very quickly. Really, it depends on how well perhaps you branded it, how well located you are in terms of accessibility, you know, what kinds of stories there are, you know, around it. So you have the old Pudu Jail, for example, which has been demolished. You retain a gateway, the outer gateway. And so if you're a newcomer to KL or, you know, in the next generation, are people even going to know what it is? Because it's now called BBCC. That whole development mm-hmm. is called Bukit Bintang City Centre, which is then shortened to BBCC. And so then what's BB? You know, it's like you lose it, you know?
Mm.
So it's okay to say it's BBCC, which is Bukit Bintang City Centre, and it's built partly on the foundations of a what used to be a jail And that jail used to be called Pudi Jail. And so we have the memory of it left in this one monument, you know, in this one gateway that we have retained. And this, if you are able to layer and tell these stories, it makes it richer. But if you just kind of want to wipe it all out, then, you know, I think the value of heritage is in its absence. People don't value it until it's not there. And because it's like, oh, it used to be there. It locates me, my history, my community at an individual level, at a community level, at a society level. And then when it's eradicated and replaced, you lose that part of your identity, visibly lose that part of it. And that will then, perhaps before you didn't think about it, but when it's absent, when it's no longer available to you, you know it, you recognize it, you recognize that loss. And I think that's quite important for identity, because if not, then we're the same as everybody else. La, you know, the city is the same as everybody else. The, you know, what's the difference between naming a place? I don't know, you know, Kampung Kurinchi. And then you complain about the fact that, oh, you know, Kampung means this and it's demeaning. No, it isn't. You know, Kampung, village, town, whatever, Kubu, you know, Kota, they all make references to what was there in the past. Kuala, Bukit, right? So when you see Bukit, and then you go to a place and it's flat, you go like, oh, where's the Bukit now? You're, do you know what I mean? So maybe, what's the Bukit before, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of food for thought for people, right? I think because, you know, so often we only think about these names when a change is suggested, right? For example, when someone brings it up. So that's a lot of really insightful points you've made that, you know, is making me think about how I think of our capital city as well.
I think that it's not just the capital city. It's not just KL, you know, it's everywhere. I mean, imagine a town that used to be called Batang Berjuntai is now called
Bestari Jaya.
You know, you change the name because you think that, you know, it was impolite, right? You know, so there are lots of reasons for that. But do you lose it entirely? And then you say, but why was it called that? You know, Batu Gajah, you know? Why is it called Batu Gajah? As a town, and then you can then tell the story. If you go to Batu Gajah, and then you look at the river, and then you see this stone, and this is the mother, and this is the child, you know, that sort of thing. The elephants used to cross. You know, there is sort of, doesn't it give you a texture, layers of its past, and then you look at what you have now, and maybe you appreciate what you have better. And I think it's. Or maybe you go, oh gosh, we lost that. And that was important. So, you know, how do you retain it? A photograph, you know, will help. But the custodians of memory are people. And a photo is a photo. And if there is nobody that remembers what that photo was or the place where it was or its significance, it's just that. So I think that we need to consider that when we are looking at changing names of places. And sometimes there are very good reasons for that. But changing them, you know, just because we can, or complaining about them, you know, being changed. And this accusation of, well, it's an English name. Well, English is a completely legitimate language in Malaysia as well, right? It is not a language that is not used. It is not a language that's not within our school curriculum. It is acknowledged as a second language in the country. So are we saying, no, it's not allowed to be used? You know, what do you say to other communities which speak different languages, which name different things? These places and names, you know, show how important its importance or its significance, rather, to the community that has named it.
Definitely. And I think that's a wonderful note to end this conversation on for people to think about, you know, what all these mean to them. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Not at all. My pleasure.
I've been speaking to Elizabeth Cardosa on what names mean for the identity, heritage and history of places, of cities and of the people who live and frequent these areas. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suan and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.